It is that time of year once again. We're all moving inside. Wildfire season may finally be behind us. The fire danger out of doors is way down and still dropping. So now the focus shifts to indoor fire safety. This week, October 6th to 12th, is National Fire Prevention Week. It gives firefighting agencies a chance to bring us up to speed on things we should be thinking about. At the Oregon Fire Marshal's Office, the focus this year is on kitchen safety. Rich Hoover is a public affairs specialist in the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office and our guest here on The Exchange. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff.
I can't imagine that it's an accident that Fire Prevention Week comes just as people start spending much more time indoors, but I understand there's a historical peg here.
There is, actually. Fire Prevention Week is usually declared in the week of in which October 9th occurs, and that's because it's in memory of the Great Chicago Fire, actually, back in 1871. So this week was established a long time ago, and it's been going on for many years.
One of those American stories in which we keep talking about Mrs. O'Leary's cow, and it's quite possible it didn't really happen that way. But the point is, we need to be careful about fire so that things like the Chicago Fire of 1871 don't happen. Why kitchen safety for a focus this year in Fire Prevention Week in Oregon?
Well, kitchen safety is the number one cause of home fires in Oregon. So it's really an important focus. This actually was a focus of Fire Prevention Week about 7 years ago or so. And it's something that, you know, we just can't warn folks enough of because of the amount of home fires that it causes and, you know, in addition to the damage and the injuries that it causes.
Just on a percentage basis, do the majority of home fires start in the kitchen?
Yes, actually, I believe it's a quarter of Oregon home fires start in the cooking area or kitchen, yes.
All right, but more than any other category, in other words?
Absolutely, right. Yep, absolutely.
And do we have an idea what we have in terms of number of fires and dollar loss?
Let's see, last year, there were 706 kitchen fires in Oregon, but over the last 5 years, which is usually how we like to package statistics because that gives us more of a trend. Over the past five years, there was over 3,600 cooking-related or kitchen-related fires, you know, which resulted in 219 injuries and 4 deaths. So it's very significant, and it's something that people do every day. So we just want to make sure they keep their attention to doing it safely.
So when you talk about the way you've packaged the trends in 5-year chunks then, I mean, does it seem like we're getting a handle on this? Does it seem like it's actually getting worse? Is there a direction there?
Well, no, it's actually kind of leveled off. It seems, you know, that's the thing that I'm glad that we're focusing on it this year as well, because it seems like we've kind of plateaued and we have the same amount year to year, or roughly the same amount year to year. So we really need to push and encourage folks to take those safety steps to kind of reduce that number.
Are there typical circumstances, Rich, for kitchen fires? Is there like one type of cooking that happens that causes fires more than any other?
Well, actually, what it is, Jeff, is unattended cooking is the number one cause of cooking-related fires. Folks put a pot on to boil with oil in it. Normally, this is how it happens, and they leave the room for a phone call. They answer the door. They get distracted with kids or other family members or something like that. Forget that they have this thing on to boil, and it just spills over and catches everything near the stove on fire and just becomes a real, you know, risk.
I'm actually a little surprised those numbers haven't boosted a bit in the internet age, because that's an easy one. As you put something on the stove and you walk off and you go to the internet and get stuck in a couple of pages, and what's that smell?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it falls in line with actually late a little later on this year in November, we'll be putting out, a cautionary notice because there's a rise in folks that like to cook their turkey in these deep fat fryers. And we see a tremendous spike in that in the November month as well.
Ah, let's address that now, because I know we've talked about that with people who wrote cookbooks, for example. But there's a major lesson here about where, in particular, to cook that turkey in the vat of boiling peanut oil or whatever you use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really kind of encourage folks not to go that route, but we know it's a popular thing to do, and more people are getting into it. So we really encourage folks to, you know, it's got to be outside, obviously. It needs to be at least 6 feet away from your structure, you know, your home, any part of your home. And please don't do it on a wooden deck, because that's mostly what happens. We see folks set it on the wooden deck. It's away from the house. They think they're safe, but the oil will spill over, and it takes no time at all for it to ignite that wood on the deck and then run right to the house. So, you know, keep it away from the home, preferably on a gravel or concrete somewhere, or out in the yard, you know, on grass or something like that that's not dry, obviously. And just be very, very careful with how you do it.
It seems like there's a fair number of people, though, who think it's probably okay in the garage. Well, hey, that's a concrete floor, and I got the garage door wide open, so there's lots of ventilation. But what's the response from the fire marshal's office?
Oh, absolutely not. We discourage that. There's a lot of other things in the garage that are combustible. You know, you never want to really have an open flame in your garage other than maybe your gas water heater, because of the fumes that can be generated by all sorts of substances that people store in there, gasoline and paint and all that other kind of thing. And actually, there's also a risk of anything that combusts emits carbon monoxide gas, so you have to be careful of that leaking into the home. So we don't encourage folks to do it in the garage at all.
Rich Hoover is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a public affairs specialist with the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office. It is Fire Prevention Week around the country. Call us if you've got some questions for him about fire prevention tips, particularly in the kitchen, or maybe some experiences you've had in the kitchen, close calls, things like that. Give us a call at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So let's talk about things that you should have in the kitchen besides a fire extinguisher. Let's start there. What kind of fire extinguisher is best for having in the kitchen, Rich?
Well, we recommend you have what's called an ABC fire extinguisher, one that's rated for all types of fires, be they combustible material like paper, electrical type fire, and also a grease type fire. So that kind of fire extinguisher, if you look for that label, it's rated ABC, that's the preferable kind, because you never know what type of fire you're going to have in your kitchen. And so if you have one of those, you can be ready for any type that you might be exposed to.
Stovetop or oven or anything you got there.
Exactly.
And is it a chemical foam or just a chemical what?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of this chemical foam powder thing, and what it really does is when you spray it on the fire, it starves the fire of oxygen, so that's one of the elements that needs to continue to burn, and if you take that element away, then the fire will go out.
So if you go buy one of these ABC fire extinguishers, what are you generally going to shell out, and how long will it stay charged, and can it be recharged?
Well, they'll stay charged on a varying amount. So, you know, I have one, bought one myself. I think I paid $25 for it. I keep it under the kitchen sink, ready to go. I check it periodically. I've had it for many years, probably well over 5 or 6 years, and it still holds its charge. So, you know, it's really a cheap insurance when you think about it in those terms. So, it's something to always keep in mind and have close by, know where it is, know how to operate it, that type of thing.
All right, we'll consider the fire extinguisher standard equipment, but let's move on from there and talk about things. Are there things about the organization of the kitchen, for example, that are important? I know I get yelled at fairly often, and rightly so, for putting the wooden cutting boards on the glass stovetop, but
right,
it's not on, of course, I say.
Right. And a lot of people do that, and we just really recommend to try and avoid putting anything that can burn on the stovetop, whether the stovetop's on or not, because sometimes it can actually, you know, turn on. Sometimes it might be on, you don't realize it yet. So we just really recommend to keep your stovetop clean of any material that can burn, even stuff near the stovetop that can burn. You know, push it away a couple of feet. You know, the packaging of things that you might be using to cook with, wooden utensils. You know, a lot of people throw dish towels on the counter or oven mitts next to it. Well, those things all can burn. So keep those well away from the stovetop keep your stovetop clean, you know, of grease buildup and that type of thing, and that'll go a long way to helping prevent any type of fire.
So if, though, something does happen to start on fire in the kitchen, first, I mean, how do you know if this is something that you can handle yourself with your extinguisher or something that's already too big for you? You need to call the fire department right away.
Right. Well, you know, the only thing that we can advise folks is you really need to only operate in your comfort level. You know, if you look at and it's a small, you know, bit of food or something that's caught on fire in the pan, and you feel comfortable that you can handle that, then we recommend you have a lid. You always have a lid nearby that'll fit on the pan. You slide the lid onto the pan to smother the flames. You turn off the burner and just let it sit there and cool down completely before you remove that lid or pick up the pan. You know, a lot of people's immediate reaction is, a fire starts in the pan, they immediately want to pick the pan up and take it over to the sink maybe and put water on it, and that's one of the worst things you can do. So if your comfort level is that you think it's small enough to handle, then by all means, you know, give it a try. If not, we really recommend, or if you're unsure, we just really recommend you get out and call 911, let the professional firefighters show up and take care of it for you.
Why is it a bad thing to take it over to the sink and douse it with water?
Because very often you're risking a burn, for one thing, because you don't know how fast that fire is going to continue to increase or get larger when you carry it over there. And many times people spill it. You know, they're very nervous or scared. They're in too much of a hurry, and then they end up spilling it on the counter or on the floor of the kitchen or on themselves, you know, on their clothing. And it's just too dangerous and too risky to try and do that.
All right. So all right. So put a lid on it.
Turn off the burner.
Turn off the burner.
Mm-hmm, and just let it cool.
Okay. What about, throwing, you don't want to throw combustible things like towels on it. It seems like one of the first things that people do, though, is they try to tamp out the flames with a towel or something.
Right, right. And you're just putting a combustible item right onto a fire, which is going to make things worse. So that's, you know, have a good, sturdy, strong lid nearby always when you're cooking, no matter what it is. And that's one of your safety measures.
All right. Now, do you get situations, too? I mean, imagine some kitchen fires are caused by microwaves. I mean, just the other day, I thought I was turning something on for a minute, and it turned out I'd punched an extra zero when it was in there for 10.
Perfect example.
Uh-huh. Well, so aside from watching your fingers and making sure the digital display says exactly what it's supposed to say, I mean, what are some of the things when you get fires in, for example, a toaster or a microwave or something other than the stove?
Right. Our recommendation is, you know, your first reaction, of course, is to open it up to see if you can do something to put it out. But actually, the best thing you can do is leave the appliance closed, because it will eventually burn itself out, because it will starve itself of oxygen. And that's, again, one of the elements it needs to burn. So, you know, you have to fight that temptation to open the oven or the microwave. Leave it shut. Make sure you just turn off the source of heat or turn off the power to it. Keep the door closed until the flame goes out, and you should be okay, because those appliances are very well built, and they're actually, you know, constructed to contain and maintain a lot of heat.
So the placement of smoke alarms now, Rich, because I know we've talked about this with you and with other fire agency folks before, you want those generally near bedrooms, is that right?
Correct. You want them in each sleeping area of the home. You want them on each level of the home, and make sure that, you know, you test them regularly, at least to see if they work, because you don't necessarily have to replace the batteries every 6 months. That's what we've been telling folks the last couple of years, because a lot of alarms now come with these 10-year long life batteries. So test it first. You know, if it's still working fine, then, you know, leave it alone. The battery doesn't need to be replaced. But if you test it often, that's the key.
Where the question was going, though, is that you generally don't want a smoke alarm right in the kitchen, because the fact is, if depending on your what your cuisine is, you might actually end up setting it off a lot.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we don't recommend smoke alarms in the kitchen, because often that'll happen and people will deactivate them and, you know, take the battery out anyway, and then there's a false sense of security. So make sure, I would say, that at least 6 to 7 feet away from the kitchen area is your nearest smoke alarm. That's probably in the hallway, maybe it's in the living room, depending on how your house is laid out. But we don't recommend putting them in the kitchen.
Rich Hoover, what's the state of range hoods? Are they required in new residential construction now?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Range hoods?
Yeah.
The fans over the stove, are those required in new residential construction or still optional or what?
You know, I don't know, Jeff. I'm sorry I don't have an answer for you on that. That's more of a building code issue, so I'd have to look that up for you and get back to you on the answer to that.
All right. Curious, because this is something that could figure into kitchen safety. I mean, I just wonder how often you should be cleaning a range hood, for example, what kind of maintenance you should be giving it to make sure that you don't get a grease buildup or other things that could lead to a fire there.
Right. If you frequently cook with grease, we certainly recommend that you take the little filter that's in your range hood that the air goes through when it's drawn out, and clean that out. You know, you can use a common household cleaner to break up the grease and whatnot, and then you can just stick it in your dishwasher and run it through a cycle, and it should be good. But I would say once a month probably, you know, check that out and see if it's got any grease buildup on it. And if it does, it, you know, go through the cleaning process.
All right. So if you eat a lot of bacon, for example, make sure that,
absolutely,
make sure that range hood gets clean.
Right.
What other kinds of things do we need to know, though, about the – there must be some things that we're missing here that people are going to go, oh, I never thought about that part.
Well, we just want to, you know, remind folks really about keep a 3 feet safety zone around the stove in the kitchen as well for kids and pets. Those things can often distract folks, you know, and end up spilling something on them or on yourself. And we also recommend, you know, be conscious of what you wear when you're cooking. You know, folks, this is something that folks probably don't think about hardly at all, but anything that dangles, if you've got a sleeve, you know, that dangles down, or any type of clothing that's really loose-fitting that may droop into the food or onto the burner or something like that and catch fire, you know, you've got to be really cognizant of that, because in no time at all, you know, you could be in flames.
Right. I've known this, that with the dangling sleeves every so often, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that got really hot. It wasn't quite to the point of catching on fire, but certainly, certainly could have been a hazard down the road.
Rightly. And you want to keep those pan handles turned in towards the counter so they're not hanging over and a child could grab them, or you could end up hooking your clothing on one of those handles and spilling it.
Okay, all kinds of great ideas. Again, the fire extinguisher is for good kitchen use, ABC. It says right on the label.
Correct.
All right. Rich Hoover has been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a public affairs specialist with the State Fire Marshal's Office. We're talking about kitchen safety on this Fire Prevention Week. Rich, thanks so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Always good to have you on the Jefferson Exchange. And that'll do it for Hour 1 on the Jefferson Exchange. Hour 2 coming up, Alice Hoffman will join us to talk about her book, Survival Lessons.